Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. It's been a while, but we are back. Well, you guys did an audio show last week, but this is the first time back in a few weeks for YouTube. And we have some news to cover. So, how are you guys doing tonight?
Yay!
How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good.
All right.
No complaints. It's, mid-May, and, it is. You know, we're almost starting to get things opened up again, and movie theaters are coming back, at least by me. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I am going next Thursday, when we would otherwise be doing our Star Wars RPG that we're now streaming on YouTube as well. I'm going to see A Quiet Place Part 2 with the Q&A with John Krasinski at the Alamo. So very excited about, and you know what?
Very cool.
I don't have this in the show notes, but Fast and Furious 9, I guess, did really, really well in the theaters this weekend, I guess.
Fast and Furious 482.
Is that how much they made, or is that the
that's how many movies in the franchise?
Okay, yeah, it feels that way.
Yeah.
So are you going to see A Quiet Place, Lou?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's probably the first one I'll see in a movie theater in, you know, a year and a half. But
yeah,
yeah, I'm toying with the idea, and Sharon wants to go too, so you may be doing that.
So when I bought my ticket for the Alamo, and because they have like a restaurant service sort of thing, they almost made it sound like they are removing the louder things from their menu, like the chips and salsa, because
really
Quiet Place, like they're trying to go for like a silent theater while you're watching it. Yeah. So I
interesting.
It was kind of vaguely worded because they were trying to be cute about it. So I need to figure out what that is, because I normally get chips and queso. But Tim, are you going to go see A Quiet Place in the theaters?
No, probably not. No? Probably not. We've been venturing out, you know, a little bit more into the public, and you know, we're vaccinated and such. But yeah, no, I don't know. Not quite ready for that one yet.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And that's the thing, you know, everybody has to make their own decisions on what they're going to do about getting back out into public. But on behalf of the Random Chatter Network, not that we're experts on it, because we're not, well, Tim somewhat in some ways, but if you are going to go out somewhere, make sure you're vaccinated if you're going to go to the movie theaters. Mm-hmm. So just want to throw that out there. So let's get into the news for this week. Disney has...
What do we got, Eric?
Do what now?
I'm excited. I said, what do we have? I'm excited.
I kind of am too, because I haven't gotten to do this in so long, and there's been like lots of stuff. And bear with me, because I've been curating this for like 3 weeks. We're not going to go through all of it. So I'm going to be like, I've got a monitor
lot
down here, and I'm going to be like going through line, but we could cover this. Oh, here's a good one. So, you know, bear with me as I do this. But one of the bigger things, and we're almost going to make this one of the top three topics, except we don't really have three big topics right now. The release windows. Disney is apparently going to be shortening them to 45 days. So we've been wondering what kind of effect the pandemic's going to have on theaters. And there have already been discussions with Warner Brothers going back to doing the theatrical releases instead of the same day theatrical and streaming, which was to be expected. And everybody's been curious, you know, what kind of ramifications are these changes going to have? And so far, one of the big things seemed to be that the release windows, they were already getting shorter and shorter, right? But over the last year, streaming has exploded, and these windows are getting tiny. 45 days. The average movie, to my recollection, and I feel like it's been a generation ago since we had numbers to look at for theatrical runs, but I mean, they're in theaters for 4 weeks. If it's a big movie, for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we're going to be streaming it at home at the same time it's in the box office.
Yeah.
Tail end of its run.
Which really does so much to kind of, you know, if there's a historic book of box office numbers, there's obviously going to be a big asterisk next to 2020. And then in 2021 is going to be the double asterisk where it's going to say someone just hit the reset button.
Yeah.
Because what we're going to see going from this point forward is not going to be the same that we've seen before.
If it's written by Disney and Lucasfilm, it'll be called Legends and Canon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's going to considerably skew a lot of things. Which I mean, right now, I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? I don't necessarily have an opinion on it that way. I mean, I think what it comes down to is consumers have spoken, and we've really seen over the last 15 months or so that streaming services are, I think, even more integral to how people receive entertainment.
Yeah.
And if people can get the stuff in a high quality, they don't mind paying for it to get it early.
Right.
I mean, the day Black Widow comes out, here's my $30. I'd like to see it on Disney Plus, please. You know, and that's going to be that. People want to enjoy this stuff at home, and I don't think that's going to go away. You know, obviously, we're going to see people going back to theaters, but I don't think that kind of higher level of demand for at-home viewing, streaming services, et cetera, is going to die down significantly. We're going to see a bit of a decrease, but not a lot.
You know, I know that you in particular have said many times that it's frustrating that we don't get numbers about the streaming services and what the viewership actually looks like and how they're able to pump so many billions of dollars into production when, you know, how do they monetize that? Because we're used to theatrical model, and the theatrical model actually gets reported. Like, we can see those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's going to be really tricky, because a lot of people, for a lot of movies, if you can just wait 6 weeks and see it at home, they're not going to pay all the money to go see it in the theaters.
Yeah.
On the flip side, the studios are still making money because they're getting the revenue from the streaming service. So they're still getting money from people doing this. It's just how much, to what extent is it still profitable? Is it better than it was before for them? As far as revenue, is it worse than it was before? And then the flip side, at least in the short term, people are anxious to get back into the theaters.
Yeah.
I would almost go Barney the Dinosaur or something just to get back out.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Well, yeah, okay. So that's a bit much. You know. I don't know. Maybe not
but
that.
But I think Tim's right. I mean, you know, part of this is we've had this access now for 15 months or maybe even just a year because, you know, I'll use the word that Tim hates, the industry pivoted to give us what we needed to, or at least give us something that they could survive with for the time being. And I think that, you know, going forward, I mean, I'd like to see a hybrid of this. I want to have the choice of going to a theater if I really, really want to for something big, something I think deserves to be. I mean, because there is still something about that theater experience that to me is special, you know, when you see a movie on a big screen.
Sure.
And
especially for certain films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certain films you definitely really want to see on big screen. Other ones, it's just fun to get out and see a movie in a theater.
Yeah.
You know, it may not deserve, I'll use the word deserve with air quotes, but, you know, some movies deserve a big screen treatment. You know, big theatrical releases like, you know, action films or big sci-fi stuff. Other stuff is just nice to go see in a different environment as opposed to being at home. Nice. We talked about the distractions you have at home.
To get off your couch.
It doesn't. Exactly. So, I mean, I want that choice, you know. I mean, like Tim said, Black Widow. Yeah, I want to pay for that too and see that at home when it's there. Would it be better on a big screen? Probably. But, you know, it's an action movie that I really want to see on a big screen. But
the catch
that's
is,
that's not something that's like a tier one for me that I'll probably see at home.
For you and your wife to go see Black Widow, you're going to pay as much in tickets as you are to get streaming. And it might be a better experience to see it in the theaters. If you pay the $30 to Disney Plus, you can watch it over and over and over again. Anytime you want, you can pause it, you can rewind it.
Right.
It's hard to then justify all of that money to see it one time versus seeing it as many times as you want for at least a month.
Right. And like we said before, for us who want to review something like this either this show or Movie Chatter, I can watch it three or four times. Sure.
Right.
You know, sign me up.
We almost have to, but so here's,
it's an interesting change in economics.
It really is.
You know, it's, I think for a lot of studios, distribution is going to cost less.
Yeah.
Because even though they are still going to be spending, they're going back to spending time in theaters, they don't have to be in theaters for as long. It's also, and I'm not sure how they did it. I mean, we had talked about, you know, certain actors like getting upset because of studios going to exclusive streaming instead of being in theaters, and why were they upset? Well, they were upset because most contracts for actors are a base plus percentage,
right.
Particularly your A-list actors,
right?
And that's percentage of box office. So when there is a reduced or no box office, what are they getting?
Right.
And obviously they want to be compensated, especially when they expected, oh, okay, hey, my base was whatever, $100,000, and I'm getting a 0.5% of profits after that. And it's, you know, a big, mega serious movie. Okay, they just lost a lot of freaking money. How is the industry balancing that out? You know, and how they did it over the last year might not necessarily be the new model, because basically people just simply had to adapt to be able to survive. But going forward, I think they really need to explore what the new industry standard is going to be.
Yeah. Well, from the looks of it, the new industry standard is going to be a reduced window with an initial exclusive theatrical release and then shortly afterwards to streaming services. News came out, and this has been reported in various different websites. I'm pulling this from The Verge in particular. Disney has confirmed that the releases for Free Guy, which I really, really want to see.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be the company's first two films to debut exclusively in theaters on August 13th and September 3rd, respectively. I really don't want to wait that long for Free Guy. I've been waiting. I mean, that just barely didn't make the pandemic cutoff last year. But so they're going to do that, and it's going to be a 45-day theatrical exclusive window. It used to be double that. Then also, mm-hmm. Warner Brothers has already announced that, and I'm reading this verbatim from The Verge, just, you know, not plagiarizing. Warner Brothers already announced that its return to theaters in 2022 will feature a 45-day window, just like Disney. Paramount said that the upcoming blockbuster films like Mission Impossible 7, I forgot they already have six of those, will get 45-day windows, with smaller movies having an even shorter 30-day window.
Mm-hmm.
Universal signed deals with both AMC and Cinemark, smaller movies with openings less than 50 million domestically can hit paid video services after a 17-day window, while bigger films can hit paid video services after 31 days. So just a month, and in some cases, 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I mean, that does kind of track what we've been seeing the last couple of years before the pandemic. Movies would do well for a week, maybe two. And if they weren't in the top, you know, top two or three movies that week, mm-hmm. they'd be gone. You know, I mean, there was literally no room
they
for a movie
off
that wasn't finishing
quick.
In the top three week after week.
And I wonder if the how prolific the streaming services are right now, if that's not going to reduce some of the oversaturation and congestion in theaters. Because back when we used to do the movie drafts, if we were going to do 3 months, we were typically going for around 30 movies on the movie draft, and there were things that we were not including because we just hadn't heard of what they were, and you know, we didn't have too many movies on the draft. So I mean, that's 10 a month, and there's 4 weekends, so that's like 2 relatively good sized, and then if you're in the summer, that's 2 big releases per weekend, sometimes like another third release that's kind of big. And then, you know, you're squeezing out all the little guys that would have been otherwise good movies. Or, you know, if you're not the Marvel movie that weekend, no matter how good your movie is, you're just, it's going to suck box office wise. So I'm wondering if now that these networks can bring stuff straight to HBO Max or Netflix or Paramount or whatever, if it's going to be a little easier on us going to the movies, because we're not going to have, you know, a bunch of different things that we have to see in a given weekend. I think maybe it's going to spread things out a little bit. Maybe not as far as like the calendar, but it's going to not squeeze out these movies and make them unsuccessful where they otherwise might have had an audience, except nobody hears of them.
I'm also wondering what the pricing structure of this is going to be. So take Shang-Chi for example. So 45 days in the theater, then it's going to be on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be on Disney Plus that, you know, hey, I'm a subscriber, I can go on, boom, there it is?
Good question.
Am I going to pay for it because it is still that new of a movie? Is it going to cost me, say, $10 to get it?
I'm thinking
and
that because...
Then it's also, you're kind of wondering, all right, you have... studios that don't have direct, that they don't own their own streaming service or they don't have a direct relationship. So after their 45 days, they're going to go on pay-per-view, which costs. Or you have something that's a deal with, like, say, Netflix, where Netflix doesn't have that premium, hey, I'm going to pay more for this movie kind of thing. So... I don't know. Eric, you were going to say something.
Well, I think that I'm definitely glad I let you continue, because those are really good questions. And it doesn't mean that things are going to go straight to a streaming service we already subscribed to. Like you said, they could go to pay-per-view first. But I think that what we're going to run into is if Disney Plus is going to charge and HBO Max isn't, I think that Disney is going to have a really hard time justifying to people why they have to pay $10, $20, $30 when Warner Brothers doesn't do that with their movies.
Right.
So a lot of it's going to depend. Are we talking about they're going straight to these subscription services, or are they going to pay-per-view? And I think because Warner Brothers and, you know, et cetera, Disney and whoever probably get more money by maintaining that subscriber base, I think they're probably going to focus on that more than the pay-per-view model, because while you might make more per individual film via pay-per-view, I think that the longevity of having a dedicated subscriber base that's being kept happy and is happily giving you $15 a month or $10 a month with ads, I think that's a better deal probably for Warner Brothers. So I don't know. I think the model of us having to pay after the 45-day window is going to go away. Because here's the other thing. How soon is it going to come out on iTunes? Because if I'm going to pay money, I want to be able to have a copy on iTunes that if I stop my subscription to Disney Plus, I don't lose it.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing.
Right, but that's a second time to purchase, though.
Right. I mean... But I don't want to pay $30 for Shang-Chi when, you know, I'm paying Disney, whatever it is, $7 a month, and then I pay another $30. So that's $37. Yeah, I'm getting other things with that $7, but stay with me.
Sure.
Yeah.
$37 for Shang-Chi. And then if I decide, okay, well, I've seen it, and there's not really anything else I want on Disney Plus, I'm going to terminate my subscription 3, 4, 5 months later. I can't go back and watch Shang-Chi again. If I instead pay $20 for it on iTunes or Amazon Prime Video, I can watch it whenever I want. I don't have to subscribe to anything ever again. And I own the movie. Well, own in air quotes, I own the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I want to spend 30 and only have access to it if I continue subscribing? Whereas if I waited a little longer, I can drop 20 and have it forever. So I think that this $30 model was kind of an emergency situation for the pandemic. I don't think it's going to last long term.
Yeah. And I'm actually, so I looked up an article on this, and so from Bob Chapek, who's the CEO of Disney, in his statement on this, talking about this 45-day window, he did not specify if an exclusive Disney Plus release would follow the 45-day window, or if it would be going to some premium on-demand service. Okay. So there's no commitment there that it's going to be 45 days in the theater and then it's going to be on Disney Plus, or if it is, if it's going to be included in your subscription fee or you're going to have to pay a premium. There's there's no details on that. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as you mentioned, Free Guy is going to be the first Disney property to be doing this. And so I think we're then going to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And where it's going to go.
It's going to be interesting.
I think they'd be hard pressed to get us to pay more for it after that window closes. If I'm going to pay for something to get early access to, I want it day and date with theater release, right? I mean,
yeah,
we've been used to that now. That's what I'm getting. If I'm going to do it after the fact, I want to own the movie outright for the rest of the time. I mean, I don't want to have to be tied to a subscription model, like Eric said. If I'm going to pay for it after the window closes for the theatrical release, you know, give me a copy. I'll buy the disc and usually get the code to put it in iTunes and that kind of stuff too. You know, so I still have the disc that I can always use down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
and that's something we've seen with things like Movies Anywhere, which has kind of taken over the, you know, Vudu and some of the other similar systems where you typed in a code and then you could stream it to all your devices and whatever. And Disney was tied into Movies Anywhere as well, because Disney had their own thing where when you bought the DVD, there was a code in there that you could plug into either iTunes, Movies Anywhere, Vudu, and there were like two or three other competitors at the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do that through Disney Plus, and then it tied into Movies Anywhere, which also ties into iTunes, so that I then have that movie, okay. That's different. I'll drop the $30. Because again, I can then watch the movie whenever I want and don't have to continue to maintain a subscription to continue to have access to the thing that I already paid for. Or likewise, if Disney Plus somehow could identify the things I've already unlocked through Movies Anywhere. So if there was some sort of an integration there, I think that could be a solution for them, because I would be willing to do that knowing that I still have a copy that I can download to my phone. Yeah, I know you can download stuff through Disney Plus to your phone as well, but I can have something that's independent of having to maintain a subscription. I'm going to be more willing to then make that purchase. I know they want you locked into that subscription, but as a consumer, I'm not going to do both. Either I'm going to pay you every month or I'm going to give you a one-time purchase. I'm not going to give you a one-time purchase that also requires me to do the monthly thing. And if I stop the monthly thing, all of the money I put into that purchase is thrown away, especially if I'm going to make multiple purchases like that. I could purchase three movies next year, almost $100 worth of films. And if I ever decide that I'm not getting enough use out of Disney Plus anymore, that whole $100 is just
gone,
thrown in the trash.
Right. You know, I wonder, I mean, so the other version of this kind of thing is on, HBO Max right now, where they don't charge you more for the day and date release, but it's only for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Right. Like, so King Kong was for Sony, what, it was a month, I guess it was after
Wonder
it was
Woman
released.
84 was as well.
And then it went back into that limbo status where movies kind of live because they're not old enough to be on streaming services yet, I guess you'd say. And that's where they're shopping around to say, okay, who wants to buy this? You know, how much does Netflix want to pay for this? How much does HBO Max want to pay for this? How much does, you know, Disney Plus want to pay for this?
Well, and I think I'd have to
give
look
those exclusive
whether
rights,
whether it entered video on demand or not too, but that would be another window in which you could do the video on demand option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has to do with these release windows that they're setting up to that this is what we're going to do so that we can have it make money in all these other facets and then eventually land on a streaming service for, you know, the next year. And then somebody else can bid for it after that year and be part of their catalog stuff. Who knows? Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to have to see how it goes. It's going to be...
It's a brave new world.
It is. It really is. And we're going to find out in August, I guess, when Free Guy comes out, what Disney's going to do. And then we've already got other things coming from Paramount and Warner Brothers as well. So we'll see. But this looks like a permanent change, though. The window getting shortened to anywhere between a month and a month and a half. I don't see that going away. So looking over the various lightning round things, do either of you guys listen to the Armchair Expert podcast?
No. Occasionally.
Well, you should. Well, if you're going to do it now, you're going to have to do it through Spotify.
Really?
Yeah, they're one of the people who are moving exclusively to Spotify. So their entire back catalog of stuff, only accessible through Spotify now. I haven't looked in to see whether that includes free users or if you have to subscribe in order to get those. But I'm a little bummed about that because that's the only podcast I really listen to anymore. It's a really good podcast.
Except for Guardians of the MCU, right? You listen to that religiously every week.
So, moving along. You guys ever... you haven't played. I was going to say, have you ever played the Fall Guys? But have you heard of the Fall Guys?
No. I've heard of the Fall Guy.
You guys are old. Oh, wow. Early you are so 80s old.
TV show.
Yeah, that's so really old, Tim. I was trying to give you guys some credit. I mean, I know Lou, but Tim, come on. So the Fall Guys, it's been a really popular game on Twitch. You get 100. It's like a battle royale, but it's cartoony and it's not weapons and stuff. It's like obstacle courses. So you guys have seen the TV show Wipeout?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So think Wipeout, but like massive, with 100 people competing at once, trying to get through an obstacle course and people just getting like knocked off of the thing as it goes along, but in a battle royale sort of mode. So there's one winner at the end. The game's
last. And
that's
Lee Majors, right?
I don't know. A few minutes at a time. What's that?
Lee Majors is the winner in the end?
No. People, listeners here don't even know who Lee Majors is, Tim.
He was the star of The Fall Guy.
Yeah, he played Colt Seavers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I looked that up because I couldn't remember his name.
Okay, I feel better, Lou. I feel better. Okay, so they just came out with a release recently, an update. And someone had put in this update, this patch that was going out to everybody. They had a folder in there that said, delete this before sending out the patch. They didn't. It was the entire source code for the game.
Whoa.
Yep. Yep. Which got pulled after not too long, but, you know, once it's on the internet, it's out there. So
people are now making their own versions?
Oops. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything since then. It was almost, I think it was one of those things where people felt so bad that maybe they just didn't do anything nefarious with it. Because like that is
you have some very
so bad
high opinions of humanity.
I try. I should know better. I don't know. Speaking of high opinions of humanity, there was a recent Nintendo Switch release. Rave reviews, like people just posting reviews that are like, this is like God's gift to video games. They went all out in the development of this release, and it shows. In fact, they didn't leave anything at all for the sequel. I don't know how they're going to make a sequel to this. Well worth my $10. Any guesses to what it was?
No.
Calculator.
Huh? What?
They released a $10 calculator app on the Nintendo Switch. Why?
I was going to say.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you possibly ever feel the need while you're playing a Nintendo Switch? I really need to add this up real quick. Hold on. Let me close this game. Load up the calculator that I paid $10 for that I could just use on my phone. But the reviews for this app, wow. I mean, this is just the amount of time and effort that went into the development and the character progression. Let me tell you, when you get to the plot twist at the end, you'll see what I mean. Like, it's... Ugh.
So, are the reviews as good for that as they are for the banana slicer on Amazon?
Oh, I haven't heard about the banana slicer.
The banana slicer.
I can tell you that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the banana slicer on Amazon.
Is it good?
There are, like... It's fantastic for something that is like a, you know, $7.99 device.
Yeah.
There are like 50,000 reviews and yeah. It's a rabbit hole. You will spend hours reading these reviews. They are fantastic about how life-changing it is. And then there's the questions about like, you know, can you use it like this? Can you use it like that? Can I use it for other curved things? What if my banana is not curved?
Keep it clean, Tim.
Hey, it's a banana slicer. That's all we're talking about.
I don't know why I would want my bananas sliced.
Yeah.
I will go check that out. Another good one. David Hasselhoff's albums. Going back for years now, that's always been a go-to item on Amazon. I tell you what, my life, I lost my job, my wife died, my dog ran away, and I bought this album. And my dog came back, I have a new wife and a girlfriend, and I'm making millions of dollars a month. This is incredible. This was a life-changing album. Yeah, the David Hasselhoff albums are good. Anyhow. Mm. Moving along, Pokemon apparently is going to stop selling Pokemon, or Target is going to stop selling Pokemon cards in the stores for reasons of employee safety.
Yeah, I saw, so what in the world is that about? I saw that kind of milling about the interwebs a few days ago, and I didn't care enough to look it up, but
yeah,
I'm still intrigued.
It's, I guess it's something where there's been a big run on Pokemon cards recently. In fact, I know that the companies where you send the Pokemon cards in to get appraised have such a backlog that they're telling people it's like a 6-month wait now to get your collection appraised and stuff. And they've just got like millions, literally, of Pokemon cards just sitting around that they can't get to. It's crazy. I don't know if it's the pandemic or what's going on, but there's such a run on Pokemon cards now that I don't know if it's one of those things like it used to be with the Star Wars toys back in the day where they're opening up the boxes and there are customers like right there, like just ripping the stuff out of the cases after the employees unload. or what it is. But
you mean back when Hasbro actually used to have action figures in the stores?
Yeah. You know what killed it, Tim? So as someone who was involved in this industry and was there in the early days of YouTube where you could flip Star Wars action figures and pay to maintain your own personal collection, you know what change it was that Hasbro made that destroyed the action figure aftermarket?
What's that?
Jar Jar. I'm just saying, it's a fact. It's not an opinion. I'm not judging Jar Jar, Tim, but... You have to go back and look at the data. They released so many different variations of Jar Jar when prior to episode one coming out, and then it came out, and whether right or wrong, everybody hated Jar Jar, and they could not get those toys off the shelves, and so then they wouldn't order the new waves of toys coming out. It's like the Counselor Zuvio thing with the Black Series, except a billion times worse. That is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Go back and look it up. That is what killed the action figure market for those. Now, they reinvigorated it with the Black Series, and then they killed it with the Counselor Zuvio thing. And then after that, with not being able to pre-order stuff, that's a whole different rabbit hole to go down. Anyway, so... what else do we have? The Friends reunion is coming out in a few days. Any Friends fans here?
I watched it sometimes.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I was never like, you know, I wasn't in the Friends craze as much of the rest of the world was.
I watched it regularly, but not religiously. So, but this is a big deal. I thought it was going to be like another episode, but I guess it's just like a kind of a hangout reminiscing sort of thing. So, yeah. Tim, you watch Evil, right? Because I think it's Robin that got me onto that show.
Yeah, we haven't watched it in a while.
Okay, well, it hasn't been on in a while. It did the one season and then, it, you know, the pandemic stuff. It's apparently moving over to Paramount Plus. So, that's moving.
Paramount Plus still a thing?
Away from CBS. It is still a thing. Another thing that's still a thing that I kind of figured would have died out by now is Peacock. But
is that the Peacock streaming service?
It is the Peacock streaming service.
Okay. All right.
The stream.
You can't say that when I'm reading reviews on the Banana Slicer. Come on.
Yes. Peacock stream. They're going to be streaming the third Psych movie. I'm a big fan of Psych, the TV show.
Okay.
It is incredible. It holds up well. It's funny. It is the main character is he's not my favorite fictional character of all time, but he's probably in my top 10. I love that character so much. They're doing the third straight to TV movie release. So looking forward to that. Millie Bobby Brown and Henry Cavill are reprising roles in Enola Holmes 2. I don't know if we ever covered that or
not. Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. The first one was really good.
Yeah. And it was pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that they're going to do that. Yeah.
Let's see. Purge Forever trailer. Dune is going to cinemas first now.
Oh really? Oh, okay.
Here's two good ones and then we'll wrap up. J.J. Abrams is going to be bringing a new Batman animated series to, I believe it's.
Yes. I heard about this.
Now. Yeah. And I'm sure they talked about it on DC Talk here on the Random Chatter Network. But pretty excited about that. And it's going to involve Bruce Timm. And, oh, no, now the name escapes me. And now I feel bad because he's another guy who was involved with the original series and is, like, really good at what he does. So this is very much kind of honoring the original Batman animated series. And it's going for kind of a gothic sort of kind of focusing on the detective nature of Batman. So really looking forward to that. And then there is a new dystopian TV adaptation coming to Apple TV Plus, which is good in my opinion, because with very few exceptions, Apple TV Plus is really, really good. Like they have probably a higher percentage of good quality shows than a lot of the other streaming services do. Easy for them to do because they don't have a lot of shows, but they've been picky and what they've done so far has been really good. But Lou, have you ever read the Wool series or the Silo series?
I started to. I never really got into it.
Okay.
I started reading the first one.
It was a little hard starting out. It picked up once they started building the world out a little bit. That is the series that they are going to be bringing to Apple TV Plus.
Okay. This is another thing I had kind of seen a mention of. What's this about?
It's going to be hard to explain in a way that's going to sell it. Okay.
Okay. That's fair.
The first book is actually kind of a collection, I think, of a five-part, they were like little novellas that they kind of compiled into one book, and then they made a second and third book. And then I think they did like a parallel series to it. It was also one of those series where the creator, Hugh Howley, I think it is, went through Amazon and they had a program where they would open the world up to other authors, kind of like what they did with Blake Crouch and the Wayward Pines novels.
Okay.
There's a silo underground, and it was built as a bunker for some, like, you know, nuclear holocaust sort of thing. And the people there live in this silo, and they have different levels that have hydroponic farms or waste treatment or whatever. And trying to think of what I can say without too many spoilers. There are more than one silo. I don't remember if they know that at the beginning or not. It's kind of this dystopian microcosm sort of thing, and they're trying to... Wow. Oh, this is harder than I thought as far as like what I can say and what I can't. It's basically them living in a huge bunker, and it's this huge silo. And the problem with reading the books is it's hard to visualize how would you set this up and like how big would it be, and like it's really like a dark, not very clean environment. You've got to go up and down steps, like all these different levels. And you have almost like a class system where there's the upper class and lower class, not quite as distinct as it is as something on Snowpiercer, but and there are some people who kind of rebel against the system, and it's interesting. And as the book series goes on, the world building gets more interesting, and they get a little bit into what happened before having to go into the silos, and is there a possibility of living outside of the silos afterwards, and et cetera. So it's got a lot of potential.
Okay.
The question really is going to be, is Apple TV going to be able to sell it very well? Because that's the one thing they've not done with very many of their series at all is any sort of good marketing. A lot of people don't even know what to watch if you subscribe to Apple TV Plus. So,
yeah, I mean, true. We subscribe to it, and we really haven't spent a lot of time digging around in it. We primarily subscribed for the Apple TV Fitness component of it, and just really haven't kind of muddled around to see what they have in terms of movies and shows and that kind of thing. And we need to poke around in there a little bit.
I want you to watch Mythic Quest.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I do know you've mentioned a few times, and I've seen other things written up on it, and it does seem to be really good.
When Mythic Quest is airing, if I didn't subscribe to Apple TV Plus, I would probably do the thing where I would subscribe while it's on the air and then cancel. And then when the next season comes on, I would subscribe and cancel. Like, I like the show that much that it justifies the subscription for me. But there's other good stuff on there. For All Mankind, is it, Lou?
Yeah, that's a pretty good series.
I started watching that based on your recommendation. And I'm liking it so far. I'm still in the first season.
I haven't seen season two yet. I want to, but I haven't had time.
Season two is really good. The Morning Show, I got halfway through that as well, and I was surprised. It's not my thing, but it's really good as well. Like, I haven't watched anything on Apple TV Plus yet that hasn't been good.
Yeah, I think, like you said, though, I mean, their biggest problem is they don't have a good way for discovery, and they're not marketing their stuff very well to get people interested in watching.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
To me, it's an afterthought. I think of, Prime and Netflix and that kind of stuff first. I'm like, oh yeah, I also can watch stuff on Apple TV Plus.
And it's funny because I could tell you, like, before I ever watched Upload on Amazon Prime, which is an incredible show, and I can't wait for the second season of that. Before I ever watched it,
I agree.
I could tell you what it was about because the trailers were informative, and they had a couple of different versions of them. And I was sold on the show before it even came out. But with Apple TV Plus, even when you're browsing through and you watch the little like Netflixy sort of trailer that pops up, half the time I can't tell you whether I even think I might like the show. Only half the time can I describe what the show is. It's just very like the Dickinson one with Haley Steinfeld. Oh, and I love her. Like, she's awesome. I didn't know it was a comedy for about until it had been out for like 8 or 9 months. I'm like, it's a comedy. Who told you it's a comedy? And they're like, have you seen it? And I'm like, no. And I looked it up, and yeah, it's a comedy. And I'm like, well, they did a great job of selling us on that show then. Like, how do you, like, the genre doesn't even, I thought it was just some kind of like weird, overly modernized version of the story to appeal to, I don't know, high schoolers, college kids, whatever, like to make it more young. But no, it's a comedy. I had no idea. How do you do that? How do you mess up so badly that people who are active subscribers to your channel who like the lead actress still don't even know what genre the show's in?
Yeah, that's kind of a failure of marketing.
Yeah.
So
I think though that in so many ways Apple as a company has kind of gotten really lazy on marketing, because they know all they have to do is put out one tweet saying that the iPhone 15 is going to release tomorrow. Boom, gazillions of dollars in sales. Done.
Yeah, but I mean, difference in marketing hardware versus marketing a service.
And they do well with hardware.
Great at service stuff.
They do well marketing their hardware, but their services, Lou's right. They've always sucked. If you look back at Mobile Me, like what a disaster that was.
And their services have never been really top notch. Right. Apple TV Plus, I think, is the exception, but they just don't know how to market it. They're not, you know, they're spending money on trying to get content. They're trying to become, you know, another Netflix, but I you know, they got a long way to go.
And like Apple Games, I finally subscribed to that when I replaced my computer, because I get like 3 months for free or something. They've got some good games on there. Some of the games I played back when you had to pay for them, they're good games, but like I'm having a hard time discovering anything. Nothing's catching my interest, and they're not really helping anything catch my interest. I don't think I'd continue subscribing to it. Apple News, same way.
Yeah.
I don't know. We kind of fell down a rabbit hole here, and I apologize for that. But anyway.
We've never done that before.
Right?
No.
It's so unlike us.
No, it really is. I think that's going to do it then. Looking over the list here.
If I could backtrack for a second, though, I was kind of looking through some stuff here, because when you mentioned Dune, it kind of, I'm like, oh, really? That's a bummer. It's really unclear as to what's going to happen with Dune. There's been talk about it not being day and date in the theaters and on HBO Max, and then they say, no, it's still going to be that way for this year, you know, for this movie. But it seems like they're kind of waffling. I don't know.
Do you know anything about when the release date is?
October 1st. Yeah, October 1st is the release date set.
Okay, so all they have to do is postpone it past January 1st.
Right, and then do whatever they want, yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like there was rumors that it wasn't going to happen, and then they came back, Warner Bros. Came back and said, no, it's going to be day and date in theaters and on HBO Max October 1st. But, they could turn around and change that again, so who knows.
Yeah.
That was before the CDC revised their mask recommendations and before things started opening up, so... Who knows?
It's going to be an interesting year with the box office, just to see how things.
But that is what I'm really looking forward to. I like the Dune story, and I think this is going to be a really good version of it. So
the trailers so far look good. I've never really latched on to Dune, but I've been open to it. I don't care. I'm willing to see it. I'll go see it like opening night. It looks good. I love sci-fi. So. Mm-hmm. But it does look like the best adaptation I've seen so far based on the trailers. But I don't know. If it is day and date on streaming and theaters, I'll just watch it at home.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I'm poor. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. Thank you for hanging out with us, and let us know what you think about any of these topics, really, any of the things we mentioned in the lightning round, or what you think about this whole theatrical situation. What do you anticipate is going to happen in the future after this upcoming year? And when are you going back to the theaters? Or have you already? Or are you going to go see A Quiet Place in the theater? I think that's one of those movies that really the ambiance of being in the theater, and because of how much that movie relies on audio, think that one is going to be the one that's going to be good to see in the theaters. So I think that's a good choice.
And next week on Random Chatter, YouTube exclusive only, Lou is going to be hosting a quiz show on identifying rashes.
Thanks, Tim.
I have so many questions right now.
All right, everyone, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that'll do it. So head over to randomchatter.com and check out all of our podcasts over there, including things we don't have here on YouTube, such as the aforementioned DC Talk and the Tight Beam and No Rashes from Lou there at randomchatter.com, thankfully. And currently not on the YouTube channel either. Not the best way to promote the YouTube channel, Tim, but we're going to do it anyway. Randomchatter.com/YouTube. Hit the subscribe and like button and hang out with us every Sunday night, most Tuesday nights, now Thursday nights with a role-playing game. And that's going to do it for this episode. We will see you next time. And until then.